What's up, Magic fans? Welcome to Do You Believe in the Magic? I hope you do. Make sure to follow us at DYBN Magic and follow our site at OrlandoPinstripePost.com. Up, Magic fans, welcome to Do You Believe in the Magic, the podcast dedicated to SB Nation's Orlando Pinstripe Post. It's our first episode. I'm your host, Preston Ellis, and today on our very first podcast, we're speaking with Orlando Pinstripe Post contributor Aaron Goldstone. Thanks for joining us, Aaron.
Thanks, Preston. Thanks for having me on. This is great. I'm very excited.
Of course, man. Thank you for helping us kick this baby off. Before we go any further, make sure you guys follow Aaron at Aaron Goldstone. Aaron, do you want to tell our listeners a bit how you got started with Orlando Pinstripe Post?
Yeah, sure. I'd been visiting the site for a few years as a fan and commenting, reading and commenting here and there and doing, through SB Nation, you can do fan posts, so basically like articles written by fans and so forth. And the opportunity came up where Pinstripe Post needed a writer. There was an opening and I just kind of, applied for it. And the rest is history for them from there. So this is my second year writing for Pinstripe Post and I'm just really excited about it. I'm a Central Florida local. I went to UCF, and so I've just kind of been around the area my whole life and have been a Magic fan my whole life. So, I'm passionate about writing about basketball and the Orlando Magic, so it works out really well so far. So, yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you on the team, man. Hope to keep that good work rolling on. Let's get started and talk about the Magic. Glad you guys have a little background on Aaron. Now we can get some of his expertise on the situation happening at the Amway Center. Right now, the sky is seemingly falling, and sorry to get so dark on you guys so quickly, but the Magic lost two nights ago in Miami, 107-89. They've lost nine straight, 20 of 23, and just recently lost Nikola Vucevic for 6 to 8 weeks with a broken wrist, really a backbreaker in terms of what they've been dealing with injury-wise. The Magic are a dreadful 44% from the field, 30% from three in 15 games in December. Their last playoff experience will have lasted 6 years ago come May, and the Magic are no closer to it than they were just last year. Aaron, scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your panic levels in terms of the future of this franchise at this point?
Is one the lowest number I could do right now?
you make up the scale.
I'm there in the 1-2 neighborhood. I was listening to the Ringer podcast yesterday, actually. I think Bill Simmons put it, best, where he said, we're in year 6 here of the Tankapalooza post-Dwight Howard era, and all the franchise really has to show for it is Aaron Gordon and Jonathan Isaac. And I think we do have a very solid above average, maybe fringe all-star player in Aaron Gordon. And we don't really know yet what we have in Jonathan Isaac, but still that's it. That's all the team really has to show for it. Things are just, the sky is falling right now. We can't even get guys healthy. So I don't know how else to evaluate from there until we get some more solid rotation people on the floor.
Yeah, two disastrous trades and the Tobias Harris and Serge Ibaka trades have really set the Magic back on top of the injuries. The Magic have had a bit of bad luck in that respect. But before we go on with some matchups with the upcoming Pistons, which is who the Orlando Magic face tonight, let's play the blame game, I guess. We're in the second year of Frank Vogel's tenure in Orlando, and it is very hard to blame him given the roster turnover the Magic have experienced and the injuries so far this season. But with all that being said, it's kind of a win for me now, Leek. Is his job in jeopardy come this offseason?
With his resume and what he has accomplished already in Indiana, you would think that alone would buy him a little bit more time. But honestly, the situation he finds himself in now is he's the head coach under management that did not hire him. So you've got Hammond, you've got Weltman there, and he's not their guy. And I don't know anything behind the scenes that would make me believe their relationship is not, fine. But at the end of the day, you still have to wonder that maybe the losses are piling up and he wasn't the coach that new management hired. That's always just kind of holistically a situation where you start to wonder, is there a regime change coming?
Yeah, and you mentioned John Hammond, a guy that the Magic kind of stole in the middle of the night from the Bucks over the offseason. You mentioned that he's not the guy who hired Frank Vogel. And most of these general managers like to tie themselves to their guys or, you know, whoever respective person they might be tied to. So, yeah, the odds are not in Frank Vogel's favor going forward, but he still has these guys playing hard. Do you like the energy that you see from sort of the B-level roster the Magic put out every night?
At times it's a little inconsistent energy. The thing that's been kind of the calling card of the Magic for years now is their energy and their effort, especially on defense, is correlated to their ability to make shots. So when they're shooting the ball well, when they're scoring, it's like a light switch. They're playing, you know, they're defensively, they're playing well. When shots aren't falling, the body language slips. They also don't have a lot of effort on defense. So it's there. It's just not consistently there. I like what I saw the other night from Wesley Iwundu. You know, he's a guy that is just scraping to make, you know, a career in the NBA at this point. And his effort seems like this year has been there. Biombo, of course, that's what he does. His effort is there. So it's there. It's just not consistently always there from a lot of guys.
Again, you guys are listening to Do You Believe in the Magic? We're talking to Aaron Goldstone. Make sure you follow us on iTunes. Aaron, the Magic faced the Pistons tonight. According to Josh Robbins of the Orlando Sentinel, Jonathan Isaac is out due to re-aggravating his ankle in Miami. And this is a worst-case scenario for this young man because with him being a rookie, it seems more than likely that the Magic are going to be super cautious with this young rookie going forward, seeing that he, you know, possibly rush back to the four too quickly. On top of that, Evan Fournier and Aaron Gordon are said to be game time decisions. My thought is that they're going to go through warmups, see how they feel, and then get a better assessment after that. Aaron, the Pistons have won 5 of their past 6. They currently sit 4th in the Eastern Conference at 19-14, although there's a bunch of teams coupled there with 19 wins. Fortunately for the Magic, they've suffered their own bit of injury misfortune with a grade 3 sprain to Reggie Jackson in their previous win against the Pacers. Do you give the Magic a chance tonight as the, I guess, Pistons sort of figure out how to recoup with possibly Langston Galloway in the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, they're at home. They have a chance. Avery Bradley also, as far as I know, is questionable game time decision. I don't know if he's been ruled out yet, but he hasn't played in the last 5 games with a groin injury. So you know, I would assume unless he's healthy, they hold Bradley out as well. You know, so you're looking at maybe Luke Kennard starting. You're looking at Ish Smith starting in the backcourt. So Detroit's scrambling as well. But, you know, the Magic still have to handle Tobias Harris. They still have to handle Andre Drummond. So they'll have their hands full. You know, a Stan Van Gundy team, their calling card is they're going to be able to stretch you. They're going to shoot from the outside. They're hitting, I think, like 38, 39% from deep as a roster on the season. So, yeah, I mean, they'll have to play their A game, the Magic, to break this losing streak.
Yeah, the Pistons definitely are kind of middle of the pack as far as offensive go, but they've been playing very well defensively, holding their opponents to just 101 points per game. And that's been a difficulty for the Magic going thus far, especially in the month of December, being as shorthanded as they are, is scoring points. As I mentioned earlier, they've been just atrocious from three-point range this month. Where do you think the scoring is going to come from tonight if Fournier can't start? Obviously, we've got Jonathan Simmons who's scoring in the double digits, but who are some guys that you expect to step up and put some points on the board?
I mean, you know, if Gordon can go, then it's got to come from Aaron Gordon. Earlier this year, when everything was going well and our roster was ultimately pretty healthy, you know, I questioned Gordon's shot selection, but now if he's available tonight, you know, I'm giving him the green light to shoot away, you know, fire away as many as he can get up. If not Gordon, Mario Hezonja, you know, is certainly capable, like we saw last game against the Pistons, of filling it up a little bit. It's just that's the problem when you start Bismack Biyombo. He is a certain kind of player. He's going to protect the rim. He's going to rebound the basketball, but you're not getting anything outside of 1 foot from him offensively. And maybe Mo Spates, you know, will have to get hot. You know, it's going to have to be someone to step up for sure. I'm just looking up and down this roster. DJ Augustine, maybe. You know, I don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, you mentioned previously about a possibility of Ish Smith starting in Reggie Jackson's place. And the Magic have somebody kind of similar to that mold in Elfrid Payton, and he played really well against the Wizards last week. Talk a bit about his development with injuries to the Magic's major offensive firepower. When you mentioned Aaron Gordon, we don't even know if he'll be able to play tonight. If he isn't, and if Fournier is out of the lineup, what does Elfrid Payton need to do to lead this team?
For me, I take a little bit of a different approach with Peyton. For me, it starts with his defense. He's got to be able to stop the other team's point guard. And I guess when you're going up against Ish Smith, who's also not really a threat from the outside, that helps. But, you know, Peyton puts up with a lot of Magic fans call empty stats. You look at the box score, it looks pretty good. He fills it up, he gets some points, he finishes at the rim, assists, rebounds. But you know, he's 6'4", he's athletic, he's long. There's no reason why he can't stop the basketball at the point of attack more successfully and productively than he has in his career. You know, he's always getting lit up by other all-star point guards, the John Walls, the Kemba Walkers. There's not a lot of guys in the league that stop those players, but he, for me, needs to be more consistent defensively. I can live with not having outside shots, but he's got to be able to have more resistance defensively at the point of attack and guarding the pick and roll.
And speaking of Elfrid Payton and the guard position, you mentioned Wesley Iwundu earlier. And last week against the Pelicans, DJ Augustin got his spot, seemingly to space the floor and create some deep looks, which is something they had a lot of success against the Pelicans earlier in the season. Who do you prefer in that starting position? Do you like Augustin coming off the bench? Do you like Iwundu? Obviously, he's a very young player, and you don't want to oversaturate him into the system. Where do you feel he fits in all of this?
Yeah, I mean, Iwundu's a bench guy for me now. I know he got a couple starts last week, a couple weeks ago. I know he got a few starts because of injuries and stuff. But, you know, I like his effort. I like kind of some of the things he could do. But he's still a second-round pick that's 30 games into his NBA career. Like, he's pretty limited right now. If he's not, like, pushing the basketball on the break, if you're in the half court, he's not a threat. You know, he doesn't have an outside shot developed yet. So he's almost overexposed a little bit in the first unit. I like him. I like what he could bring to the team. I'd love to see him for right now get 10 to 15 minutes maybe off the bench. And now you're not going against the other team's best wing players. You're going against reserves. And I think that would just be an easier transition for him into the NBA at this point.
All right, cool. Again, you guys are listening to Do You Believe in the Magic? This is Aaron Goldstone. Let's keep right along with some of the magic that we need to step up. Jonathan Simmons is somebody who's proven to be a bargain in free agency. On top of that, Shelvin Mack came in at a very affordable contract. I would say one of these players is doing a lot better than the others so far. Shelvin Mack has struggled to really create the impact that the Magic need off the bench. What's your opinion on two of these guys? And who are some other players for the Magic that you point to step up in this difficult time?
You know, Jonathan Simmons had a really strong start, you know, beginning to the season, like a lot of guys did, honestly, on the Magic. But he has struggled mightily the last few weeks. You know, he is being asked to do a lot, you know, take on a load for the Magic that maybe he's just not capable of with Gordon and with Fournier out. You know, I think Simmons sometimes is a ball stopper. He dribbles a little bit too much for my liking. You know, it's nice to be able to put your head down and get to the rim at certain points of the game, but I think he is kind of kills the flow of the offense, turns the ball over. You know, he's been turning the ball over a lot, and he just may be a guy that's more suited to come off the bench. But right now, you know, he's being asked to play more minutes than he probably should and is being exposed a little bit. You know, I worry about Simmons coming from San Antonio and their system. You know, was he at least defensively a system guy? Because he hasn't really been strong defensively for the Magic. Or is he capable of giving us more? You know, we certainly need a little bit more of the Magic do from Simmons. Shelvin Mack, you know, he is what he is. Like, he's been okay. He's been solid and steady. He's not, his ceiling's pretty low. And you know, he doesn't have a guaranteed contract next year. I think only one of his $6 million is guaranteed. So he's a guy, if anybody wants, that I could see maybe being moved at the deadline. He's just like a fifth or sixth guard. You know, my expectations for him were pretty low coming into the year. So
All right, let's continue with that train of thought because I know you've got something in the works for us. Just in terms of the trade deadline, it's coming a lot sooner this year than it did last year. We're only a month away. Last year, obviously, the DeMarcus Cousins trade totally overshadowed All-Star Weekend, and so the NBA was looking to alleviate that concern going forward by putting it before that great weekend. The Magic have a lot of holes, a lot of players that they could offload should they choose, although many of them are injured at this point. What are some ideas that you have for the Magic? Obviously, offloading talent, getting back picks, or do you think the Magic could potentially be buyers at this point?
I don't think they'll be buyers. You know, they're a couple games out from the worst record in the NBA. They're much closer to that than the playoffs at this point. I think they'll be sellers, but you know, that only depends on what other teams are in the league are willing to give up. You know, I'm not sure that some other teams are in the league value the players on Orlando's roster as much as maybe the people within this organization or, you know, fans of the team do. You know, what is a Nick Vucevic going to get you in a trade? You know, especially with his hand broken. You know, he's due to be back right around the trade deadline. I don't think his broken hand will prevent him from being traded, but I mean, is he going to get you a first round pick? You know, a late first round pick? Is Elfrid Payton, who's going to be a restricted free agent, you know, if he's dealt, is he going to get you? You know, so I just wonder what some of these guys will get the Magic in return. Do we have some people available? Sure. I'm sure if anybody wanted Maurice Spates or Aaron Aflalo or Shelvin Mack, you know, we could deal them, but you're not going to get a lot in return for those kind of guys. Hezonja, the same thing. Like, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent in the summer. Like, what team is going to give up a whole lot for that? So I would keep expectations pretty low, I guess, if you're a Magic fan, as far as like some major trade at the deadline. You got to give something to get something. And I don't know how much the guys on Orlando's roster are valued around the league.
Yeah, you mentioned Mario Hezonja. He's kind of the last guy that we haven't talked about, a former top five pick, a guy who's going to be an unrestricted free agent. And like you said, there's nothing that the Magic could really get for him at this point, being that he's an expiring beyond maybe, I don't know, a second round pick that's super
Right.
protected. But he has been getting a lot of playing time lately, and he has shown some signs. He's shooting the ball pretty well, 37% from three, albeit on only 2.5 shots per game. Do you think he can continue improving? Obviously, he's only been playing American basketball for a few years. Do you think he's going to start figuring things out at some point in his career, or do you think this might be the last stop for him?
No, I think he's got another contract in the NBA in him. You know, it's a little bit of progress this year. You know, not much, but he has raised his game now to the point where he could at least pass for, you know, a replacement player. You know, he is a bench player. I don't think his ceiling is anywhere near what maybe the Magic had hoped for when they drafted him, but as a reserve off the bench, he's shown a little bit of versatility where he can play the three, he can play the four. I actually kind of like the idea that Vogel, you know, playing Hezonja at the power forward position, you know, went with. It's just when you start him at power forward, now he's giving up so much size to the Kelly Olynyk, the Markieff Morris's, the last few matchups that we've had. But if he's coming off the bench, he could play the three, the four. He's shown some things this year, you know, but it's just consistency with him. You know, it's the body language stuff still. It's the careless turnover still. I think he threw the ball out of bounds on an inbounds to begin the second quarter, you know, against the Heat a couple, and just, you know, just silly, mindless mistakes like that. Not as many as there used to be, but it's still, you know, he's got to cut that stuff out.
All right, Aaron, let's start to wrap up. Let's talk some predictions. The game, of course, tonight is in the Amway Center. It is the holidays, so you'd have to believe that a lot of people got some Magic tickets into their stockings, especially considering how available they are at this point in time. What do you expect to transpire tonight against the Pistons? Do you give the Magic a shot and give us a final score? And throw us out an MVP as well, too.
Okay. Are Magic tickets in your stocking like coal these days? Is that what that is? I've seen all over Twitter people are saying, oh yeah, I got, you know, Magic tickets, and you know, I was really excited to give tickets to my dad, and I got them, you know, a couple months ago, and now, you know, now what, you know, so that's kind of funny. But tonight, you know, I think Tobias Harris will be motivated. I know it's been a little while since that trade, but, you know, for him, you know, I'm sure he likes to, you know, give it to the Magic every chance and opportunity that he gets. So he would be at the top of my scouting report, you know, stopping him. You know, we've got to be able to control the boards because Andre Drummond is one of the best in the league. And, you know, rebounding the basketball has not been a strength of the Magic this season. And unfortunately, I think, especially if either Gordon or Fournier or both aren't available, again, I think the Magic will be shorthanded, and I think the Pistons will be able to get out of town with a win tonight.
All right, and we'll definitely keep you guys updated as to the injury status of these guys, but again, it's something that we might not know until 6:30 tonight with a tip-off at 7 p.m. One more thing, Aaron, I keep doing this to you. Again, you guys are listening to Do You Believe in the Magic? There's a big article on Bleacher Report by a really good author in Howard Beck, somebody who frequently makes appearances on Zach Lowe, and the article is all about Becky Bonner, the Director of Player Development here with the Orlando Magic. The article is titled "You Can Be a Pioneer," and of course, I bring this up because it deals with our Orlando Magic, and anything that concerns with Orlando Magic is worth talking about, in my opinion. She went to Boston. She was the director of basketball operations in Louisville, and she was quoted in the article at the end as saying, "I know the specific moment, and I got real fired up." This is in terms of her wanting to be a general manager. She said, "I had this deep, dark secret that I wanted to be a GM, but I never wanted to tell anybody. And then I told that to someone, and they're like, well, then that's your goal." Aaron, did you get a chance to see this article? What is your experience in following the Magic in terms of Becky Bonner? And I guess, do you give her a realistic chance in being the first female general manager in the NBA?
I am aware of the article. I have not met Becky yet personally, but I know Howard was in town, researching and writing his article. I think that this is the movement that the NBA is heading towards. I don't know how long it'll be, and I don't know if it'll be, Becky personally, but, a female GM is not something that's, undoable. It's something that I think, and in the near future, very well could happen. I think, she's a pioneer right now as far as what she's doing, working in an NBA front office, working on a daily basis with players and upper management, and she won't be the last. This is just kind of the direction the league is heading towards, and that's great.
All right. Thank you so much again, Aaron Goldstone. Again, you guys can follow him at Aaron Goldstone. And one more time, tell our listeners about the trade piece that you've got coming up for us.
Yeah, I'm working through a piece where I'm just kind of putting into tiers guys on the Magic roster and the likelihood that they will be moved at some point between now and February. What maybe just snowballing out there, spitballing out there, what they could bring back, their value around the league, going from safest to maybe most likely to be moved. So I'll look for that in the next few days, as well as maybe some midterm progress reports coming out on each player on the roster.
And I apologize for my dog barking. Somebody must have left a package at our door. So thank you to him for protecting me so voraciously. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, this is our first podcast, so it's up to you guys. If you like what you're hearing, you want us to continue the show, please make yourselves heard. You can tweet at me, at Preston Ellis, at Aaron Goldstone, and be sure to retweet this podcast. Rate it on iTunes by searching Do You Believe in the Magic NBA Podcast, and make sure to follow us at DYB in Magic. For now, I'm your host, Preston Ellis. This is Do You Believe in the Magic? And I hope you do. We'll talk to you guys soon.